It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 441.
It's Weekend Banter and Ryan John's back in the building.
Feels good. Feels good.
Can I ask a quick question about the intro?
Sure.
What happened to a conversation sometimes worth recording?
Too long.
Too long?
We cut that a long time ago, mate. It's very sad that you haven't picked up on that.
I've been meaning to ask. I noticed a while ago.
It's a very good question, I think. Well, part of it is when we started doing video, creating motion graphics for that long. it was outrageous. Like, you don't realize how long it is, because there's something a bit egomaniac. Like, you're a bit of an egomaniac if you have an intro longer than 10 seconds, and ours went for about 45.
especially when you're listening 7 days a week. You're like, I get it, guys. You just skip ahead.
You know, when you start anything, it's like we started with probably what somebody who has a legacy would lead would end up leading with.
Yeah.
And so we built out that long thing, and it served its purpose. But you just want to get straight to the content, don't you?
You get like a Kyle and Jackie O style, and you get all the guests that come on to
give it. I thought about it. It's resources, to be honest.
Hey, it's Zoe Foster Blake. Hey, it's Shameless. Hey, it's Ryan. Hey, it's everyone else you have on. And then it's like this big, so it's like, these guys sound like they're connected.
That's what's funny about Kiss, because obviously Kiss is a massive radio brand in the US.
Yeah.
And I'm sure when they're getting radio IDs, not all of, like, when you hear it in Australia, they're definitely using the
Kiss funds from over there. Mm-hmm. Well, I did a session with Dua Lipa, and it was just the two of us in the studio together. We just did an interview, and then everyone else left, and I just had a page of, hey, it's Dua Lipa, you're listening to my favorite station. And so I was recording them with her, and I kind of looked at her and I was like, is every station your favorite station? And she says, you'd be surprised how many favorites I've got.
I mean, when we were on Jordan Michaelides' podcast, Uncommon, he got us to do an ID, which we panicked.
And then he led with it.
Yeah, it was like the first bit.
Where's
first
he based?
In East Melbourne.
Oh, so it's, hey, it's Josh and Tommy. And when I'm in East Melbourne, I tune in to, what was it called again?
Uncommon.
Well, I tune in to the Uncommon because it's my favourite podcast in East Melbourne.
Pretty sure I
Dua Lipa out.
The greatest podcast on earth or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
We went big. We went real big.
And went real big. stats on Ryan John, because this is not your first
It's your eighth appearance.
Eighth time?
What? Yeah.
Is that right?
Yep.
Jeez. I would have thought eight appearances. Five. That's, okay.
Yeah. Can you tell us all the titles?
I think
there's
once I was on the phone, like I've done some cameos.
Yeah.
But eight
cameos.
Yeah.
Here we go. You actually won the
What were the titles?
And Sixing Out with Ryan John.
What
episode 402?
Can you go from the first one to the
episode 65? Yeah. Finding My Birth Mother.
Okay. Uh-huh. Started with the strong stuff. Good.
Found. Yeah. I'm just giving updates on the titles.
No.
Wow.
Birth Father Found.
Father Found. Yeah. Okay. 50% there.
Episode 175, Ryan John and What's Best for Your Child.
What is best for your child?
Jars of Air.
Yep, great.
Oh, that was
that video got me a lot of work, but tanked itself.
next one.
240, Samantha's Big Feet.
That was a good episode, yeah.
You must have dialed in or something.
I must have been on the phone in Perth because you called me about something.
Yeah.
So I remember you calling and me going, oh, did you want me to do the podcast? And you guys were like, you're on it. We're doing it right now.
Any others?
244, Ryan John and the ham delivery.
Yeah.
Great.
Yep. 294, Tommy's been exploited.
That was on the call because you called about it was the compliance video.
I was the face of consent.
Yeah. Oh, the face of consent. Yeah. Oh, that was one of my favorites. That was great.
306, game show host Ryan John.
That was the introduction of the jacket.
Yes.
402, Six and Out with Ryan John.
Yeah, great.
Six and Out, and now,
here we are. We were talking about it in the office, I think it was just yesterday, about how good you are at coming up with games. You always have content, you've got an Evernote full of ideas.
They're just questions today. And I was saying earlier that it's sometimes cheaper than getting a business coach.
Yeah.
That if I come and ask you questions, I want to know the answer to and kind of imply that it's more about starting a conversation with you guys. But really, I'm just like, I actually need to know how to do this.
He just knows that we love talking about this shit. Yeah. And so he brings it to the table. I think ever since I've met you, you've always been a guy that's talking about ideas, and you got your pad out, but you actually do a bunch of shit too.
Yeah. Can I try and unlock your?
I came and pitched one hard this morning, and in a few weeks you'll see it.
Can I?
With you guys in it, starring. If we don't end up in jail, spoiler alert,
we end up in jail. Yeah. Can I try and unlock your phone? Because I want to see if my
A picture of my dog on the front.
Yeah. Well, because I don't do it very often. Oh, well, that was easy.
Oh, I was unlocked. But I was made already, it
had a way. Did it have a code on it?
No, it did have a code. Okay, here we go. Because it was one of those times. Oh no!
Don't get it wrong too many times.
I know. I would. I just felt like when I saw you pressing the buttons on your pin, I was like, I'm going to remember that.
I tried to remember it. If I do it like this, and then you tell me what my pin is.
No, I can't. Definitely not.
You can't tell me. No. It's a silly game. I mean, we just gave you credit on games.
Yeah,
it was a shit game.
Evernote. What's in the Evernote at the moment?
Well, the first thing it says, well, apart for this show or for in general?
Just in general.
I'm still doing Get Fit for Free. Haven't paid for a gym membership in a few months.
Oh, great.
That's either going really well.
No, you actually have paid for a gym membership.
That joke doesn't work.
It's the reverse. I've been paying and haven't gone.
Which gyms have you gone to?
I've done two F45s, one kind of boot camp one, a leisure center and a boxing thing.
And what's been the takeaway?
It's all free. Don't stop paying for stuff you don't need, guys.
Is the boxing good? I'm thinking about doing boxing.
It's hard. You have to like it. It's hard.
Yeah. The thing is it blows you out. So like cardio fit, if you're not cardio fit and you just go into a boxing class, it's just going to fucking blow your head off.
Yep.
Start low key.
I've also got work meetings suck.
You guys did about a fucking 2% workout the other day. I'll show you how it's
about showing up.
Well, the thing I found about it is I don't think I've lost any weight yet because when I go to the things, I'm like, oh, that would be a good angle and I'll get a snippet for the video. So I'm seeing how the documentary/video will end up.
Are you filming at all of these things?
Yeah, so at the end I'm going to be like, this is how much weight I lost doing all these free trials.
Oh, yeah, but what do they think you're doing?
Just testing out the facilities.
I mean, Tommy tried to get a bagel, like film at a bagel place and nearly got his head blown off.
Yeah.
Let alone the gym. Do you ask them?
I don't tell them what exactly I'm doing, but I sometimes ask. Although the other day I was filming in a pool with the GoPro because I was there's
problematic.
Like, it is very problematic because there was like, you know, there's kids around and obviously in a pool you're not wearing much. And then this guy with the big gut who's white as looks creepy just rocks in midday with a camera set up. And I was like, this doesn't feel right.
And so did you keep it up or what'd you do?
Yeah, I hid the GoPro because the GoPro is so
small.
So you
made it worse?
Yeah.
So you hid the GoPro?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Go with a hidden camera at a pool. That's why fucking dodgy.
Now you're a dude sweating with a hidden GoPro. Yeah, it's not
I was sweating because I was exercising.
I think the thing is most people are okay with being filmed. Like they don't even.
Do you think?
Well, most people don't get it. No, most people don't get it. Like I just hold my phone like this and I go in and I'm filming. Like no one really sort of, they're like, I think everyone understands.
But if you're a young dad that there was yesterday with three of his young kids swimming.
Kids are a different fucking ball game.
Yeah.
You don't, like I've got a kid and I feel awkward about it.
How would you feel 97 if someone was filming you?
Yeah, not at the gym, like in the pool. It's a bit weird.
Yeah, what about anywhere? Out, so
the pool's fucking weird. Don't film at the pool.
Okay.
The pool was a bad
pool
idea.
Pool is weird. Okay. Long but lens in a pool, don't ever do that.
Or a GoPro.
Never.
But what about like general, like if you were just at a shop and you felt like someone had their phone and they were filming you, how would you feel?
Yeah, uncomfortable. I wouldn't like it.
Would you say something?
No.
Definitely wouldn't say something.
Nah, I wouldn't say something.
So,
well, during the week I filmed myself delivering beers for Father's Day and I'm turning up to people's workplaces and houses with a camera and a few of them were like, oh, well, what's the deal with the camera? Mm-hmm. And I go, oh, I'm here to give you free beers because your son nominated you, said you're an awesome dad and I'm filming a whole bunch of people today doing the same thing. And then he was like, oh, cool. Great.
Oh, yeah,
that's
good. Yeah.
And that's the most pushback I've ever had from deliveries was that guy who asked one question and was fine in 10 seconds.
I think what's your intention? If you are actually looking to catch someone out, other than that, if you're just filming a situation outdoors, in shops and shit's a different story. Like inside of a store.
Well, how about this?
It's law. You can actually film people. It's legal. Yeah. You can film people out in the street.
Yeah, but if you were to film someone and then say that they were, like you could still be done for defamation or something if you then applied something to that specific person.
Exactly.
I've had to delete videos that I've done street interviews because people have changed, given consent, and then you're allowed to change your mind. Mm-hmm. So people are like, oh, you should get them to sign something, but still you can sign something and then change your mind.
Nah, I reckon signing something, you've got a hard case to get it.
Well, I think that's the thing, like with like all contracts, there's something in there around like you have to make it really, like you need to communicate shit well. So if you're a tech company and you're banking on people not reading terms of service or whatever, like it's not a very strong contract. The good ones are like, hey, here are the dot points, making it really clear.
Well, I always ask them on camera, obviously we don't use the cut in the final video, but is always on camera going, hey, mate, we're filming this for the website and Facebook. Is that all good? And they go, yeah, fine. And then sometimes I've had people go, oh, I don't think I gave permission. And I can actually send them a little clip and go, here's a video of you saying. And but then I still say, but if you want me to take it down, I can.
Because they're all plastered when you're filming them.
Well, yeah, here's the thing. Yeah, I've stopped doing a lot of those real plastered ones.
So you said, oh, but I can take it down.
Yeah.
But that gets in the way of the process, right? If you have that in place to not have to, like, we don't edit these shows and we're not going to edit any of them.
You sure you can't edit the thing about the filming the kids? Because if you were ever going to edit one thing, maybe that was the thing. Maybe it's a snippet. Well, eighth episode.
Ryan, John, and hidden camera at pool, the name of this episode. We're leading with it, mate. You're fucked.
If it bleeds, it leads.
But don't you think it's like, so then that's, so you're making more videos now for your creative business, freelance business. Like this is, it's a huge roadblock.
I've lost probably 500,000 views total of people. Because the thing is, once it's posted on YouTube and especially Facebook with the algorithm, once it gets the likes and the comments and the shares and someone goes, oh, can you just delete my little snippet? You're like, oh, well, I can't actually edit it once it's posted. I have to delete the whole thing. And then like I said, once you've deleted it, you lose all the engagement and people aren't going to reshare it and recomment and stuff. So it's, yeah, I've had a few that have really hit me hard and it's annoying.
And what do you respond to them? Are you good about it or?
Yeah, because my lawyer when I first started learning about this was the same lawyer as Kyle and Jackie O. She was awesome and she explained to me that you're allowed to, because I'm like, but they said it was fine. And she's like, you're allowed to change your mind at any time about consent and stuff like that. And apparently the guy, you know the famous line in Fyre Festival where the guy went to like.
Oh, where he sucked.
Apparently he changed his mind and was like, I can't let, and they were like, nah, that's the best part of the movie. And they paid him a lot more to like recommit to that.
And then he was doing radio interviews purely based on him to suck someone off.
So you understand the person that wants it taken down, but the other side, if you actually push hard, they have to spend a bunch of cash to get it through the court system.
Lawyers, the one in particular was a Valentine's Day one and I was asking, why are you single? Great question. Have it for free, everyone else for next year. And
can you ask Mr. 97 then? Can you ask that?
Mr. 97, why are you single?
Get your lawyers.
So she calls the lawyers and says, I want it taken down.
Oh, so a lawyer actually got involved in one of your...
Well, but here's the thing. The lawyer was the main sponsor of my breakfast show at the time. So
it was more of a client issue than
Slater
anything.
And Gordon.
No, because the client called us and like we met with them every fortnight and had a coffee and we had a pretty good relationship and they sponsored a lot of promotions. And so randomly she calls these lawyers because she was first in mind because advertising with Ryan and Tony works. And then they just called us and went, oh, by the way, this is going on. And then I just spoke to the girl and I was like, look, you did give consent. If you really want me to take it down, I can. However, it's going to be the end of the whole video. And to be honest, what you said, I understand why you might be a bit embarrassed, but it's actually really funny.
What was the answer?
She was like, I'm sorry, I just can't have it up
there. No, I mean, like, what was the answer of the that was so funny?
She was just talking about, what was it?
Can we watch it online or is it not there?
No, it's not there.
So it's Valentine's Day. You asked, why are you single?
And she said, it was something like sexual. She's like, no boys are good enough for me. They're not. And then kind of described how she liked to, what she would like in the bedroom and that no one was providing that kind of service. Okay.
She was drunk.
Yeah. But it wasn't that detailed.
Very quick.
But it wasn't that detailed, but it was just her delivery. It was so funny.
Yeah.
And it was a bit sassy and a bit like, these guys can't keep up with me. And I was like, right, it's power to you.
And it was her alter ego after six Smirnoffs.
Well, I started going earlier in the night because when they're too drunk, it actually isn't funny anymore. It crosses a line where you're like, oh, this is just, they're just drunk and it's real sad. You want to hit them when they've had two or three and just a bit of confidence.
just a bit buzzy, not completely.
But she was applying for jobs like at the same time and she's like, it's just, I'm applying for jobs. It's not the right time for that to pop up. And I was like, I get it.
So she went to a lawyer though before she spoke to you?
Yes.
Strange. Don't you think?
Or she messaged.
Just pick up the phone.
Or she messaged me and I didn't reply within a few hours and because I get a lot of messages and it was during the radio show.
I get it.
So I got a call at 10 a.m. after she messaged at 8 and I was like, oh, okay. And it was by the end of the day.
I get that one.
It's full on.
But some people just think that, I guess it becomes your world. You think it's your living this life and you're seeing something go out of yourself And then you think everybody's going to be thinking exactly where I am. But most people just watch videos and go, huh.
Well, I said to her, I'm like, it's pretty funny and it's you. I get it. But no one else really cares.
Yeah, exactly.
And, yeah, so that sort of came down and we had a couple of hundred views in like, well, I posted the night before. So it was going all right. A couple hundred thousand. I posted it one night. So the next 100,000 overnight. So that's usually a good sign. It'll good couple of days and then see ya.
I was watching a video of Keep It Cleaner. They were doing like a promotion. Ooh,
they've got a free trial for their app, by the way.
Oh, really?
Thanks, girls.
How's it going?
That one's hard.
Yeah.
They're real fit.
Yeah.
Try to keep up with Steph and Laura. Yeah. Like they do the videos and you're like, oh, yeah, they're off they go. Nah, that shit's hard.
That's very, I mean, the idea of, the following along on iPhones and iPads, I tried to do one. It's called ROMWOD, range of movement workout of the day. And it was like, you have to get into these positions. It's all like, so you're real stretched and nimble. It was hard, watching
the screen.
Are you looking at it 97? Are you seeing it?
Yeah.
How fit do they look though?
What made you?
Till Spilhoff, my German friend from WA.
Legit what, if you've been doing CrossFit for 5 years, you get into doing that too.
Yeah.
It's full on. No, I remember when you had that subscription.
I went to a Les Mills class the other day. You know, the really stock, the body pump and the body combat and stuff.
What's it? Les Mills invented all that shit.
Yeah, it was huge a few years ago before everything else kind of surpassed it. But I went to one the other day as part of the free trial.
That might be the packages we're sending off the hoodies.
Anyway, the Les Mills thing, I went in there and there was no instructor. It was like, oh, watch the screen. It's a virtual one.
Mr. 97.
I was like, I could do this.
Is it the packages? Is this what's happening? Okay.
Should we go and film this?
Tommy's just going, baby's going to hurt his back.
I might go.
No,
we'll keep talking. No, anyway, so I was with the Keep It Cleaner stuff.
Yeah.
They were doing this video in Woolworths. I was watching it on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's essentially they were giving out free samples of their products. And they had a bunch of people that they would just go up and say, hey, do you want one?
Yeah.
And the funny thing was I saw a friend, like someone who I hadn't seen in ages.
Is in there.
Yeah, one of Bree's old bosses. And they sort of went up and said, hey, do you want one? He's like, oh, yeah, I'll get one. And we messaged him and we're like, hey, do you know you're in this video? He's like, oh, I was wondering what was going on.
And they didn't tell her.
No.
Tell him.
I thought that was interesting because it's like, especially at a Woolworths.
I would have thought Woolworths would have signed off.
Like,
one of the reasons I film in the street is because, like, in theory, no one owns the street. Mm. As soon as you go into a shopping center, Westfield can go, hey, mate, take off. Or Woolworths.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't even bother.
Well, I feel
so
like
surely they've signed off. And when Woolworths signed off, surely they'd be like, so here's the rules about filming in the store. You need permission, you need this.
I was so surprised because they had like a security person going around with them and everything. Because you would think that. Like Woolies are trying to would have to make sure that they're not going to get in trouble, right?
Because those big companies get real scared of stuff like that. Yeah, for sure.
97, how'd you go?
All sorted.
All delivered. Oh,
great.
Done.
What did they ask? Any questions?
Nope. Didn't even scan them. Just straight in the truck.
Oh, very good.
Oh, I'll never see those again.
The hoodies are on their way.
Well, speaking of podcast merch, I think I need to talk about the elephant in the room.
I mean, you've got a Sizzletown T-shirt. Sizzletown is a great Australian podcast.
Well, you guys said when you come into the studio, make sure you're wearing merch of your favourite podcast. Wink, wink. And I was like, no problems. Oh, Sizzletown, Tony Martin.
So hurtful.
But I was going to ask, in the podcasting world, is it like competitive for merch sales or is it more of a rising tide lifts all boats sort of scenario?
I mean, people can only wear one top at a time. So.
Yeah. A T-shirt and a jumper.
I don't think we haven't nailed the business model of merch because it still cost us money in regards to getting them printed and doing the delivery.
Do you think you have any crossover with Sizzletown of audience?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I've never listened. What's Sizzletown?
Sizzletown is Tony Martin's. It's like, it's very produced. It's
like a mockumentary of it's called a late night talk. A late night call-in podcast.
Actually, is it where like he goes out of the studio and he's like going along checking what's in each studio?
Yeah,
and I have.
It's really well made.
Pots and Pans production.
Yeah, Matt is a gun and Tony is all the callers, like putting on voices and stuff. It's a production. Like I think I won best audio production at the podcast.
Well, a lot of.
But it's very funny.
It's obviously the opposite of us, like us where we just turn on the microphone and talk. versus an extremely produced.
It's so well produced. And to think in this episode, you went and answered the door. I offered to pause. I said something about filming kids not wearing clothes and you're still like, we refuse to edit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, get your lawyers. We just won't answer the phone.
Sarah doesn't work for me anymore or with me anymore. So I don't have a lawyer.
No, Tony Martin is someone who radio heads. You know, people that are obsessed with the actual
the craft,
the craft or the form, the format are into because he started it, he pioneered it. Hamish and Andy were looking to Tony Martin. I know they're all like
Martin Molloy.
They're actually mates, aren't they? Like,
yeah.
But they started that Martin and Molloy, was it?
Martin Molloy.
Martin Molloy.
And he also did. Oh, what was the one with Ed Cavalli during the day on Triple M?
Oh yeah,
get this. One of the greats. Yeah, he's awesome. So I bought some merch to support the team.
What did the T-shirt cost?
I reckon it was $30 or $40.
You should know because I literally asked you before the show.
You did.
You said
looked it up.
Keep it for the show.
I meant the chat about the shirt, not the price.
I mean, I'm curious. I literally
actually,
asked
Mace,
how much
you
was
look
the
it up.
I want to know how
but
much.
But then
the
this is what I want to add. I paid for the T-shirt. Mm. What are you doing?
No, we're just feeling okay. It's a good screen printed.
Yeah, no, it's a good shirt. Yeah.
Is it meant to be sort of like the bits in the middle missing? Yeah. It's meant to be like no problem.
It's just the sizzle of Sizzletown.
Okay, yep.
And then about 2 weeks later, after I bought the T-shirt, I got a big box that arrived at my desk in Perth and I opened it and it was from Treasury Wines and there was a handwritten letter from Tony Martin saying, "Hey, Ryan, thanks for being such a big fan of the podcast. Enjoy this wine from Treasury Wines, blah, blah, blah."
And why aren't we doing this? No, I'll tell you.
And the note had its own letterhead and it was like from the desk of Tony Martin and then under it, it said, "This guy thinks he's so great. He's even got his own letterhead."
That's amazing.
Mate, have you seen our letters, our envelopes?
Yeah, we do. Bring one over.
Can you
just throw it?
All right. I don't know if I'm getting too far ahead of myself, but you guys have all this cool stuff and I've never received any of it. I didn't have my name on the door when I walked in.
Do you even have an address in Melbourne? Like a
I get stuff sent here. I'm just here to get my mail and you wrote me into a weekend banner.
So we've got the Daily Talk Show envelope and then we've got like the on the back it says the PO box and everything.
Return to Gronk.
All right. Let me set you guys straight.
Okay.
This is unbelievable, right?
Okay.
But you know those people that have great ideas and they don't do them and it's like it's not your idea until you actually do it?
Uh-huh.
I don't give a fuck how nice your envelope is until you send me something in the post.
Because
there's no point in you having it in the drawer. Put my address on it, which is your address,
and
send it to me.
We only got it yesterday. And the hilarious thing about it is the printer I was trying to push on price. I wasn't pushing on price.
Mm.
I said, "Hey, I want 500 envelopes and 500 cards. What do you reckon? What do you reckon it would cost for 500 envelopes and 500 cards of the same size, single printed,
one side
face, card, and then just these envelopes, 500 of each? How much?"
I'd say a touch under 500 because I'm thinking 50 cents per piece.
$1,000.
They're kidding themselves.
Yeah, and
absolutely kidding themselves.
And so the thing is, they got us at a desperate time because I was determined to have this stuff for the hoodies to go out, which they've just gone out and it's all happening.
That's what was taken away before.
And so anyway, I was like, okay, our budget was $500.
Yep.
Which I think is a good amount.
I like
amount.
That you picked 500. Yeah, it's about right.
And so he's like, okay, the best we can do is like $850 plus GST. I was like, how about if we got 200 pieces of each?
Mm. Yeah.
He said, okay, we could do it for $580 plus GST. Is this very inside baseball? Is this okay, 97?
No, it's a good story.
That's fine.
Good story.
Yeah. So anyway.
And are you still working on this?
Yeah, no, this is.
Is it a done deal or are you still
negotiating?
It's
still done. No, it's a done deal.
Oh, okay.
Well, because it's all about speed. The thing is, if we had time, you can go on the internet and do this stuff really quickly.
Yep.
Anyway, so we negotiated for 200 of each at $580. But the great thing is they would we only put the order in the day before yesterday and they arrived yesterday. So very quick.
Yeah.
So
super quick turnaround.
Yep. The only thing is we get them and the cards, they've left the bleed line, the red markers on the cards.
Oh, you know what? This is great about this.
What?
They will obviously need to remake.
Well, you should have seen Josh's face.
We pushed hard.
And I didn't want to say it. I was like, oh. But I'm not going to. It's like pointing out your fuck up.
Yeah, but what Tommy says.
Is it your fuck up or their fuck up?
No, their fuck up.
But Josh knows that
I need to address it.
There's a piece of work in it. There's time needing to be spent now. It's problem solving. And you didn't want to have to solve that problem.
Well, because you knew that. Because whenever Tommy says, so what are you thinking? So he just fucking says that. I'm literally just there, just looking at the card.
Well, he goes quiet.
Well, here's the good thing, right? So you go back and you say, mate, this isn't good enough. Get me what I want. And then they give you 200 of those. Then you got 200 of like these spare, not quite right ones.
You're spot on.
And then when you get people who are a bit chirpy and a bit demanding like me, send me the shit ones. Yeah.
Spot on. That's exactly what's happening.
And then you guys have mini meetings each day and go, oh, I'm just about to send this guy a thing. Is he a proper one or can we get the OG
red line?
Yeah.
So that's exactly what happened. I emailed them and I was actually really nice to them because I thought like they were squeezing so much when it came to like price and being like, no, it's got to be this. And how annoying for them to now have to print another 200.
Well, I should have thought about that before they fucked
it up. And they also had to courier them to it because I'm like...
Same day.
Mm. And so, yes, we got the cards fixed.
I've got a new game.
All right, what is this?
Of all the guests you've had on the show, each three of us need to name one person who would be on the shitty red stripe card list.
Okay, great.
Tommy, you'll start with you.
Should we say it in the count of three?
Okay, I'm ready to go.
Okay, you count us down.
Three... 2-1
Charlie Clawson.
Who'd you say?
I said Charlie Clawson.
Yeah, he does it. Yeah, I understand.
Pete Shepherd, but only because Pete would forgive us.
Yeah. I feel like Charlie's a fellow podcaster. He'll understand.
I went for Matt Diavella because if we said who made the minimalist documentary, and if we said to him,
he'll check it out anyway. He's a minimalist. He's not keeping shit.
Yeah, but from our point of view, we go, hey, these didn't quite work and we're going to throw them out. But instead of putting them into junk, we thought we'd minimize them.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
Well,
that's my story. I'm sticking with it. And he just wouldn't even let it in his house. He'd be like,
I think any creative understands. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's had to deal with this shit, printing, and there's high chance of fuck up.
Speaking of fuck ups and dollars.
What have you done?
No, this isn't me. This is a general question
to do with quitting your job.
Fellow small business people.
Yeah.
What's the longest you've had to wait for an invoice to get paid? And is this a legit problem for a lot of people?
We had a mate in the office yesterday that was saying that he got an email from a guy that he'd sent the invoice to.
Yep.
And the guy said, your numbers are fucked. Meaning?
Like your BSB and account?
No. As in like, it'd be like me sending you an invoice saying pay me and you sending an email back to me saying, oh, your numbers are fucked. Meaning that's what not how charged? Much I'm paying you.
Oh.
And so like, but I haven't had that feeling. So we've been through all of that. I haven't had many.
What about the guy? I had the one where I did something for a company.
Oh no.
And they didn't organize, like they were being El Cheapo. And so I did it below my normal day rate. And it wasn't going to take like a whole day. So I was like, okay. But the thing is that they were being so tight that like, we just want you to film it and just like basically give it to us. We don't need you involved in like working out the talent or doing the questions. We'll be there asking the questions. We just need you to film it.
Okay.
And so I filmed it and it was with this wacky doctor, sort of like a celebrity doctor.
Yeah.
And it was a medical product. And he was just making up stories about like he was real quirky. It's almost like Dr. Nick from The Simpsons.
Yeah, right? Trivia.
He's just like, they would say, okay, like, you know, tell a story about the whole thing. And he'd say, oh, this thing happened. And I said, oh, have you tried this? And then they tried it and all that. But they were like, he was just bullshitting. And then so the person would suddenly be like, oh, how about a doc? Could we just try one that we were spoke about previously? Blah blah blah.
That's real.
So, that's real. Like you don't need to fudge it. Just do the real stuff or whatever.
Preferably one that actually happened.
Yeah,
thanks,
but he
doctor.
Just loved the theatre of it. He just loved like, oh yeah, someone bumped into me and said, oh, have you got something for this cough? He's like, oh yeah, I just said take this. The next day I see him and he's like, my cough's gone, doc. Didn't happen. Anyway, so film it all. I'm like, this is fucking rubbish. But I filmed it, and then. Gave them the edit and sure enough, they're like, oh, this is rubbish. And I was like, I sent them the invoice.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, but it's not good.
We can't use this.
I was like, yeah, you fucked up.
Yeah, you hired a camera guy.
And so anyway, they're like,
you had to let me not hire Dr. Exactly. Nick. I could have.
100%. And so I, they're like, okay, like we're not paying the full amount. And then so I was just like, well, I just, so I'm writing it off again. I'm writing off the whole, it was like, $1,100. Wiped it off. Said, "Don't worry about paying, but I'm never working with you again."
Mm. It's nice to deliver that.
Did it feel good saying that?
Yeah,
it feels great.
Fucking great.
I
is there an amount that you put up with that shit for?
What do you mean?
As like, in, for instance, I had an invoice. I did a job for someone in November, and it was a five-figure, yeah, it was over 10 grand job. I did it in December. I delivered it in February and kind of signed off in Feb and didn't get paid till the following December.
It's a different fucking financial year.
Yeah, it's crazy. And but I was like, oh, if this was for 10 grand and for me, I'm like, oh, well, I'm not going to turn my nose at 10 grand.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, 12 months to get paid for a job?
Like, no, that's not okay. That's definitely not okay.
I would definitely, I mean, this is what I think we've gotten really good at, 50% up front.
I've started that,
If they don't give 50% up front, 100% on delivery, so they don't actually get it prior to getting the actual files, they have to do it, which is great because it's normally, it's always works out that the people who are a bit fucked with paying also need the thing right now. And so it's worked.
Are you saying unorganized people are unorganized?
Exactly.
I think a good definition is between the, so internally we're saying 50% up front. The alternative wording for that is a deposit.
Yeah.
And like Josh said to me the other week, which I was saying about sending something to a client, I also asked for 50% up front. He said, no, ask for the deposit. Mm. Because when you go into a store or we're primed around the word deposit, I can't stay at this hotel unless I put my deposit down.
Yeah.
So why should that be any different for that's our services? Yep. So deposit, using that as the keyword. We need a deposit before we start this project.
And so some of the thing, the other thing that's been handy is turning on credit card payments, giving that as an option. So for instance, if they'd said, oh, fuck, if it had been over by, say, 30-day terms or whatever and it's been 40 days, I'd probably email them and say, hey, guys, we can turn on credit card facilities. It's about 2% or whatever. And then I can just reissue the invoice with that fee and you can pay it that way if that's going to be easier for you.
Is it worth it? Is it worth the 2% for the lack of hassle? Because I've had that option and I've gone, oh, 2%.
No. Steve. Well, no, it's, but you pass it on to them.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so you say, I'm going to reissue the invoice.
Yeah.
And that works a treat. I know that I've had back in the day, like a few years ago, I definitely got work based on people just like loving charging their Amex.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, right. You can get the points.
Okay, let me write. See, this is why I come and do this podcast.
So the other thing is
Stripe deposit. Do you zero? Or MYOB? Like
FreshBooks.
FreshBooks?
Whatever. Yeah,
you can just connect it into.
Yeah, I've got the option. I just can click it on. Yeah.
Interesting one. Maybe since you've done your accounting degree.
Yep.
When you go to do your tax return
what
now.
What does the honours bit get you again?
More time spent at uni.
I'll tell you that for sure. I get you a higher hex debt and it gives you the opportunity to 10 years later drop it into podcasts.
Yeah.
That's about it.
But when, so Stripe and Shopify, what's interesting is when you go onto your MyGov to do your tax return, say if you've got an ABN, it will show up the amount. It will show up the figure that you've earned through Shopify because they're declaring it to the tax department now. So Amy, quick little story. Amy was doing a tax return and was like, why am I not getting anything back? And it was spitting out this figure. And I'm like, no, that's not right. Your taxable income's way, you know, it's like it's paid like $7,000 or $8,000 or whatever it is. They'd fucked it. What Stripe had declared to the ATO was a digit off. And so it was like $11,000, not 110.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the decimal point was in the wrong spot. And so she had to find them and they declared it. And so anyway, but that's one thing.
If it was zero, it'd be 1,100.
Yeah, I said a decimal point, which I – decimal point was – yeah, they not a –
They fucked it up.
It was 11 grand. So it was like whatever, 11
– So it should have been 1,100
110.
Maybe? Yeah.
Maybe they moved it 2 points down. Whatever it was, $11,000 is what they declared.
And it was meant to be 110.
It was meant to be 110.
Yeah, that's going to make an impact on your tax.
A couple of zeros.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Anyway, thanks for getting us bogged down. But another thing that we do, there's three things that a client has to fit into.
Yeah.
And I don't think this can be done from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Maybe, but Josh and I have been through this pain all before.
Yeah.
So there's like the amount that you're going to earn from the job, the client, and the creative. Mm. Was that the three?
Yeah, it's a Chase Jarvis talks about it a bunch, the photographer. It's like you got to tick two of the three boxes. Mm. Good people, Well paid, great creative.
So you'll do two of them.
So we could deal with some good people and it pays well,
yeah,
but it's annoying creative, like it's not that creative.
Yep. Yeah.
You could deal with it's good people and really fun creative, but the cash isn't necessarily that good.
So we'd put podcasting into that category?
We're not ticking anything. Nah, just fulfilled. Just a fulfilled box.
Average people.
Yeah, exactly.
No cash. Fucking hate it.
But, and so this is where you think that you're leaving too much on the table at the start.
Yeah.
By, doesn't matter. It's not much money. They're average people. I need to get runs on the board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's shit creative.
Yep. The other thing. Here's another. What was the original question? Bring up your Evernote. What were the questions that you had for us, business wise?
The longest you paid to get an invoice.
Mm-hmm. What was the longest?
Two grand still hasn't been paid. Yeah.
How long ago?
2 years ago. The business went under. No, 3 years ago.
This is sort of similar.
Their business.
Yeah, the business. I got it through a friend, and then that friend was paying me through this construction company.
That was
company.
Being a presenter or something, was it?
Yeah. It pissed me off so bad.
When do you start charging? Because
this is so good.
This is what's included usually in my process, right? And this is me not knowing what I'm doing. I'll meet with them for a coffee or a beer and just like a meet up and a chat. Then I'll kind of go away and kind of go, thanks for meeting up here. From what we chatted about, here's a couple of ideas. Let me know if we want to get serious and we'll start actually nutting some of these ideas out. And then if they go yes, then you start nutting the ideas out. And so you still haven't started, but you've already had three meetings, yeah, right?
I reckon that's it depends where you are in the process of your career.
Yeah.
I feel like for us, we have evolved into being better at charging for pre-production.
Yeah.
So for the first 10 years of my career, pre-production was this thing that I was like, I'll work out the logistics and stuff, but you only pay me when I'm like filming. So for instance, it's like, say if you're playing in the sub $5,000 mark, it's like, you get a day's worth of film. Like say if you're charging $2,500 for a day for filming or $1,500 or whatever it is, and then you've got a couple of post-production days at $800, then it's like, okay, that's what it costs. However, especially when you think about like what you got to ask, what business are you specifically in?
Yeah.
And so my perspective of what you're doing is so much of the power of is in the creative and it's in the ideas and it's coming up with great concepts. And so if that's the case, if that is part of your point of difference and if that is part of the service that you're offering, you need to be charging for that.
Yeah, because that's where I've got it wrong, I reckon, because I make two kinds of videos and they're both charged for the video. They're not charged for the half a day of writing ideas and the half a day of this and the thinking of that and buying the little bits and pieces and stuff.
The hard bit is you're at the point where you're using your skill to land the job. So you're going, I'm actually you leading with the ideas to then have that be the reason why I get
the
idea job.
Is the juicy, like the pitch.
Which almost. Million-dollar question is how do you get the job without even showing all of your ideas to start with?
Yeah, and other people have said what happens if they go, oh, nah, and then 3 months later something pops up on Instagram and you're like, I fucking half wrote
that. Yeah, but ideas,
dozen.
Exactly, yeah, but for them to do them is a different thing.
But I think there is, in regards to actually making more money, there's only so much padding that you can put into a production or post-production.
Mm. Yeah.
Charging for pre-production just makes business sense because you could make, if that takes, say if that's 20% of the project, you can charge 20% more. Mm. And so it's just giving you this, I think it increases the barrier to entry in some ways. I've heard one guy I know who's sort of a finance dude, he would say, I will do he specializes in like helping businesses with their books and things like that. And he would say, if you want to meet with me, I'll have a look at your books. It costs $150. So it's a pretty low barrier to entry. Mm. That $150 I donate to this charity. And it's just a great way of onboarding people.
Yeah.
Mm. They're not fucking tire kickers because they're actually having to give some form of cash.
Mm. Yep.
And then it also does the beautiful thing of $150, like part of the mindset or status that you're playing in is it's like charging $150 seems a bit silly or petty in the grand scheme of a $10,000 job.
Yeah.
And so that seems like a little bit low status. Even charging an hourly rate is low status because then all of a sudden they can start deconstructing and saying, okay, how many hours? You don't want to get to a point where they're like, oh, did you do one less hour on that thing? Yeah. But I think that that's a great way around it, which is saying I'm giving that to charity.
Well, I had this idea sort of similar in that we meet up and I bring some ideas with me and that costs you $100, $200. Mm-hmm. And if you go through with it, then that gets won.
Yeah, yeah.
But I like the charity, but I also like keeping the money.
Yeah, but I think the charity one will be easier to get people that aren't even sold on you.
Yeah.
Because if you're still going to be primed to spend $200 with a person that you like, because if it doesn't go anywhere, you've dropped to it, lost.
But maybe
$200.
That could be something that you even incorporate into a Stripe thing, like a credit card, like really make it easy for that to happen. Yep. And then you can also absorb the fee before it goes to the charity. So it's not like it's costing you money.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, the charity, rather than getting $200, they get $196 or whatever.
Yeah.
The workshop thing, like for us, we've done many pre-prod sessions where they come in to our office for a day and we're spending that time with the idea that there'll be a production day and editing required, but it's to work out. So it's an experience for them too. And so these things aren't tangible. The ideas are not tangible. They're written on a piece of paper. They're in an email.
Would you consider me turning up for coffee with a page of ideas for your business an experience?
Well, if I didn't know that, like if
you know my charm.
Well, that's why I think
that. What am I primed? Why am I ready to buy? Like, am I ready to spend $5,000 cash? Like, I think you can get a coffee with someone quite easily.
Yeah.
Are they actually a person willing to spend a bunch of cash?
Mm.
Maybe, maybe not. And most of the time, just randomly having a coffee with someone to convert that into a whole bunch of cash is probably pretty low, unless you have an idea, a sense of what business they're in.
Well, I got real drunk at Moondog a few weeks ago and that worked out real well.
No,
for
but
me.
It has. I went to a vineyard once, a winery, and I filmed a bunch of stuff. And I was like, I love this.
Was it a distillery? Wasn't it?
It was a cider place. I don't know. You'd know.
What cider? What is it? Is that a vineyard?
Brewery.
What
is I think they're just a brewery.
A cider is apple, so it's an orchard.
Orchard, yeah. Oh, they had orchard. Anyway, I made a whole bunch of videos. It was Amy and I, our favorite cider. And I had my camera with me, my good camera. And I did all this great footage. And then
is that how you sell soda? Mate, I've got my good camera with me.
I've got my good camera. I didn't even sell it that. But my point is I ended up making a whole bunch of money, a whole bunch of videos and charged a bunch of money for that time spent. But that was the reverse. I made the videos first and showed him and then said, what do you reckon?
Which so these are hard facts. So I've
done
a few
of those.
These are tactics that you have to, like if that didn't pay off, I wouldn't be mentioning it. But
if you don't have a reel, if you don't have to, like, so the thing is it's like, okay, why are they trusting you? I think one of the other things which is really helpful is on stuff that's probably over 15 or 20 grand, we'll use with my last business, I paid a law firm to like write up a contract, like a video production agreement.
Mm.
And that is super helpful because it's like another way of describing it is a statement of work, which is like a few pages.
Yep.
It could literally even be two pages. And it says, this is the output. These are the days that it's all happening. Here are the key messages that we're trying to get across. And that level of sort of tangibility or, you know, giving them a tangible thing allows you to be able to charge, I reckon, 20%.
Of course. Founder magazine. You guys know a founder?
Yeah.
You guys should have Nathan on, by the way.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. So they've actually got a bunch of these templates that are like, if you're a creative and startup and you can't afford a lawyer, here's a template that you can almost fill out. So it's like a DIY little contract.
Mm-hmm.
And that he's like, it saves people so much hassle later.
So good. There's a open source, what's it called, Mace? The one that I always talk about?
I looked at it recently.
Open Legal or something. It's like a open source database of all different types of legal
open law.
Yeah. I guess what are the stages, right? There's going from not having business, not being a freelancer, to starting that, charging some money. And then there's the next step, which is how do I charge more money? What's the premium or what's the greater service? Because I think when you're charging more, you've got to be having something that's more of an experience or a premium or a product.
It's a branding exercise. Part of it too, the reason why I think the having the template is good is because if we've learned anything, it's all about having more balls in the air. It's about like you can't when I'm the least happy within my business, it was always when I only had I was always relying on that one person to say yes. Like you have that one meeting on a Tuesday and you really, and then, you know, you come home from work and Bree's like, how's the day? It's like, oh, hopefully they get through. That should never be the case. There should be always like eight conversations in the go. And the only way that you can do that in a way that's effective and that's professional is having some form of template where it's like after the conversation, within 15 minutes, you can create something that you can send.
Yeah.
And this is me giving me my own advice because we're still dialing it in, right? Like we don't necessarily.
And I think you're going to have these fuck ups and experiences with bad clients and because it makes you really know who you want to work with, who you don't, or how you'll approach it next time. It builds confidence. It does all of that.
Yeah.
That's it's a journey. It's full on.
But there's some companies that a video production agreement, like getting them to sign a contract, actually means that the project won't happen. Like you've got to be willing to realize that.
What they'll go, oh, I don't know.
And it's too intense for them. It's too professional.
If you're in it, do you know who you're dealing with? This is a big media company, son. You sign on the dotted line, or you get nothing.
Well, imagine this. Imagine you're an event coordinator that's got $15,000 budget to do some videos around an event, and you're working at a big company. Getting someone to sign shit is fucking hard work, and so then all of a sudden they're like, "Oh, last time when we did this video thing, they just did it and it was all fine." And then you're like, "Oh, you know what? They're a Fortune 500 company. I think they're good for it. If we've got an email from them, that's good enough."
Yeah.
So I think it's about having the system, but also be willing to be flexible as well.
And also, I think early days, you want to get things across the line. So that's your goal, right?
Yeah.
Please, please land this. Please pay this. Please, you know, accept my quote. Also, the warning signs on the other side of that is if they're wishy-washy about the details of it but are willing to engage in it, there's a high chance of it becoming a headache.
Mm. Yeah.
So if they're not willing to identify, so many times I took on projects where I didn't, there was no clear specific outcome. They then throw things into it. It then blows out and the budget is just so small to what it should have been just to even pay the bill.
I heard
of my time.
Pete Shepherd say something the other day on our walk. He said, clear is kind. And I think that's like being clear in all of our communication. So being clear on like, okay, what does success look like for this project? Like that's like when we have meetings, it's like what does – even Zig Ziglar, who Seth Godin,
one of the greats,
he was one of Seth's
he's
mentors.
He's our Seth Godin. Yeah. Seth Godin's out.
Anyway, I was listening to one of Zig's early books, and he talks about how to be a good salesperson, you need to find out what the objections are from the people themselves. So rather than like trying to like sell yourself in, you need to be like asking them questions. So then they say, I'm not sure about this or this, these are our concerns or this is what I want. And then you can actually, you've been handed on a platter exactly what the problem is.
Mm. So do you go back to that same person or it's more next time you go, well, you might be concerned about this, but we've got this and blah, blah, blah.
Well, I think it's happening in real time. Yeah. I think part of it is it's like for us anyway, it's more about asking questions to work out how we can help rather than pitching. And that comes from the beauty of having done it for a long time.
Yeah.
I understand the pain because we've all been there where it's like your first client. Your first client is always going to be the hardest client because they're banking. They don't. If we have those boxes where it's like good people, good money, you know, good creative, they've got their own set of boxes. Yeah. It's probably like, oh, they do good work. They're a fair price. You know, they're good people, and so at the start, you don't have the good creative. You can't show them that you do good work.
Mm. Yeah.
And so they're not ticking that box.
Yeah.
And so at the start, you actually can't be the most fucking expensive that's around because you've got no examples. So you need to either say, I'm going to do this for a better price or, you know, like I think there's that level of flexibility in it at the start.
I got a question, final question on my list, by the way. So it's September tomorrow and
my birthday.
It's coming up to your birthday.
Yeah, September 1st.
Yeah. Who would have guessed it? Should mention that more often.
Did you know about Shepparton? Good one. He used to work
in Shepparton. Did you work in Shepparton?
One of the greatest breakfast shows to ever grace the land.
Guys, there's a job going at the moment.
In Shepparton?
No.
Where?
Better.
Mildura?
Hamilton.
Oh.
Hamilton?
With Mix and Ace Radio Network. Oh, yeah.
Hamilton's like Victoria.
It's north of Warrnambool.
Yeah, it's very, very far.
Right out there.
Could we maybe do a stint? which network?
It's with Ace.
Okay.
Who are great people. And
he's fishing for
no, because he's stopped holding. He's fucking holding the mic.
It's around. Driving distance from Bridget's Winery.
Okay,
you're thinking
I
about
can
it.
Live with, wow, I should. Do you reckon I'd get it,
mate? You've been in radio for about 45 years.
What's your non-compete agreement with SCA?
I don't reckon there's many competitors in Hamilton.
I don't. I think they'll turn a blind eye for Ace Radio. Yeah. Hamilton.
You can't work it. Actually, I'm not supposed to talk about this stuff. But I reckon it'll be fine going on. I don't think that'd have a huge issue.
Did you say
issue.
You don't have a lawyer anymore? Maybe you need one.
I'll call Sarah Tingsley back. I think she's still in the biz.
I actually remember her. She was the lawyer for the whole
ARN.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'll get
she
emails.
Got me out of many a pickle. Thank you, Sarah.
I wonder if she's related to my cousin, the Tinsleys. Sarah Tinsley?
Look it up.
Yeah. I mean
how is he going to look
I
up?
I should just ask my uncle.
Talk about your dad. There's a connection.
Your dad, he might know.
Yeah. So it's September, which means the high school exams coming up soon.
For who?
High school kids.
For like all.
Who else?
Isn't exams in October?
Well, something's I mean, coming up. Okay, so people are starting to study and doing final assignments and stuff. Yeah. Okay. And I always felt when I was in high school, there was this, and this is teachers because they don't know much about the world. And so they grow up in a school, then they go to a university, another education institution, then they go back to a school. Yeah. What do they know about anything else? Anyway, so they...
There are some, Peter Shepherd, both his parents are teachers.
Well,
travel a lot.
Actually, my mum was a teacher. All my family are teachers. Anyway.
So you can say it.
You know, but I actually didn't like the teachers at my school. They're all, my family's great though. But anyway, they kind of, there's kind of this.
My family's great though.
There's kind of this vibe that like, oh, if you don't do well in your exams, you won't get into the course you want. And if you don't get into the course you want, then you won't be able to do what you want for your career.
Mm.
And I remember in 2003 saying, because you know, I believe it or not, I was a bit of a smart ass in high school. Mm-hmm. So in 2003, I said, the job I want to do in the future doesn't exist yet.
Who'd you say that to?
One of my teachers.
That's great. Something and Josh would have said too.
Yeah, and I don't know
one
if
one of my rants.
Yeah. But I don't know if I fully believed.
I definitely had the Steve Jobs turtleneck on.
Yeah. But I don't know if I fully believed it, but I loved the line.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was a killer line. And now in 2019, as we sit here in a podcast studio, are you joking?
What the fuck's that?
It's outrageous. And what do? Oh, I make original and branded podcast and social content. Yeah. What the fuck are those things?
It's so true.
It's so true. So I was wondering if you guys were like giving a little talk at a school and people were freaking out about, because my whole thing is like, hey, do your best, but just know that you can still good or bad or don't even do them. The world's your oyster. But what would you kind of say to those kids knowing that you've literally created your own careers and not relied on other people. I
mean, but the thing is, you can't give advice about shit that you actually do. It's like futurists talking about the future. They don't actually know. They're just using an educated guess. But then, so for us, I mean.
Are you saying you're a futurist?
No, I'm saying I'm not a futurist and I don't want to give advice for kids and be a little smart ass like
but
Ryan
not
was.
Advice for the future, but advice to the now.
I'm happy
when,
to.
When they're
way.
Looking to. Yeah,
well, please, I know Josh you are. Futurist. I know you are.
I did a university class with futurists and it was fucking weird.
Really? Because they always looking at the calendar. Was
what are they? So you did it at university.
So when I did honours, I had to do, because you write a thesis and one of the subjects is literally just called research method. So it just teaches you how to write a thesis, how to research.
How to Google.
Yeah, how to Google. And basically there were a lot of people like me doing their thesis and there was a group of who were going to write their thesis on future studies and we were all in the same class together. And I just... A few of them were great, but most of them, were, you could imagine them doing it purely so they could swirl their red wine and just say, I'm a futurist.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you doing though? And they're like, oh, just, we got to look ahead. I'm like, yeah, but like, what does that, like everyone's fucking looking at it. Like, what does that mean? Oh, I'm a futurist.
They're not usually on the front line. They're off to the side looking towards where the field is.
Which I think we need.
No,
I think
we
it's like
need
academia
them.
Or all that sort of shit. Like you need.
Yeah, but
need,
if you're planning Christmas Day, you don't go, I'm a futurist. You're just planning Christmas Day.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very true. Yeah, it's very meta, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, what would you say to the kids?
What would I say? I mean, going to your point, I feel like in my mind when I was a kid, I was always like, if everything doesn't work out, like I'll go to, like this is no joke, JMC Academy. I remember like
you said that.
Well, yeah, I just remember that it was always like, I remember going and visiting and it was sort of one of those like pay your way in, like get into a bit of debt and just fuck around and use all that. They had Avid. I remember getting excited about that.
I think it's, I mean, the basic simple piece of advice is be ready. And so it's like, what does that look like? It's position yourself in a place where when something shifts or something picks up, like you look at these platforms, these tech platforms, it's like, the coders that were just into it back then and are making a lot of money now, it was just what they were into then. So it's like, I mean, preparing to be a coder right now is probably not the number one thing to do. But having
isn't that as bad? I reckon saying I want to do code because that's what the future is.
Exactly.
Is
that's what I'm saying. That's not ready.
That advice is as good as my parents want me to be a doctor because doctors are great.
I'm using code as the thing that you shouldn't do. So I'm saying there's a few things. It's like having a variety of creative skills that could be adapted into the thing that comes to fruition.
I think part of it too is like, what are you actually good at? What is your competitive advantage? What makes you different to everyone else? I think that that's probably a good place to start, because then if you answer that, if you start with what are you good at and you focus on that, and then because the idea of just working for yourself at the start, because I freelanced when I was 14 and
that was the most jock thing I've ever heard.
And so, but I can see how just like a young golfer learning to play golf, you learn bad habits and that continues on. There is something, I see people who have only had those experiences where they just freelance and that's all they've ever done. And they're not necessarily completely whole, just like someone who's an employee their whole life isn't completely whole. Like we need to have a diverse range of experiences. So my thing is, it's not necessarily never work for someone else or always work for yourself. I think you just need to be around other people, have other experiences. I think having shit bosses helps. I think you need to, like, from the from 18 to 25, like there's heaps of time there. You can have three jobs during that time.
Yep.
And they can all teach you something.
I think having a shit boss or a shit something in general, you always learn more by observing what I don't want to be like than someone great.
Oh, yeah. If when you have a bad experience, you know what the opposite is.
Oh, if I was leading a team and having observed this, I would never allow that to be a thing or have a culture like that. Or I think you learn more from the bad stuff.
It's so true. And I think that if you, probably popular conversation or popular thought is go out, do it on your own, be an entrepreneur. And I think that if we look at the technology industry or we look at anywhere where it's sort of the hot place to be right now, having the diversity, having the different thoughts. So thinking about, okay, what are young people all doing right now and how can I actually be in the 5% that do the other good bit? So for instance, I'd be saying, okay, people aren't picking, like young people aren't fucking spending time on the phone. So I'm actually going to make phone calls. I'm going to do all of the things that have been lost based on the technology stuff, but at the same time, get into those newer things as well. I feel like that's a good way.
I think there's something also around committing to a creative project.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have a real outcome. So it could be every Saturday and Sunday, or even every day you're doing something. And that's the learning from this podcast is what could they do that is building consistency, commitment, and they just show up? Because you can actually just win by just showing up when everyone else doesn't.
Is that the motto of the Daily Talk Show? Who else is doing 7 days a week?
I don't know. Mate, bring them to the table. I don't know.
They're probably busy doing podcasts as
But I haven't bothered to look, to be honest.
I've been too busy churning out 7 a week.
Yeah.
No, seriously.
I mean, it is interesting. I think that like the self-help stuff or things like the 4-hour work week can set people on this wrong path. Like I was talking to a young person the other day and they were saying, talking about passive income.
Yeah.
It's like passive income is built on this notion that you're going to just have cash coming in without doing any fucking work.
Yeah.
And so I think that that idea as a starting point is a really flawed concept and probably just enjoy the process, find something that you do like doing, and then based on that, you can be okay. If you don't make cash straight away, you're not going to be fucking...
Because you're enjoying it anyway. Well, you actually mentioned something previously that's in the 4-hour work week that you just dissed. So you know how you're like, what can I do the opposite of, or what can I do differently? So Tim Ferriss, author of the 4-Hour Work Week, he used to work in sales. And you
was
know
it snake oil that he was selling?
It was actually he was doing all the supplements.
Yeah, it was before, I think it was before the supplement. But he was working for someone, it was like IT programs or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, he said that when he emailed between 9 and 5 to the, you know, chief technology officer that he wanted to sell the computer program to, you know, it would go to their
middleman and stuff. Yeah.
But he said the PAs and assistants aren't at work before 9 a.m. Or after 5 p.m. And he said, and figured out if I call them between 7 and 9 in the morning or 5 and 7 at night, it goes straight through to them. They'll be there. Their PA won't be. And so the whole thing was like, what can I do the opposite of? And so he called them and he's like, that's how I got all my work.
Yeah. Well, it's like, yeah, working out what are people not willing to do.
Yeah. People weren't willing to call and people weren't willing to get up early or stay later. And he just, and he said he did nothing during the day. Like he'd go to the gym and hang out because he's like, nope, all the middlemen are in the way.
Yeah. I think it's, yeah, it's interesting. It's about,
I'll be calling you guys at 10 o'clock tonight.
Do fucking not.
you'll be asleep.
I'll be asleep. Is there any, because you could say the same thing about do the opposite to how you feel about something. So it could be, what, like for you, what's a barrier in your mind around the work stuff at the moment? Like what's a limiting belief?
A Lamington belief I have had is my technical ability. And that's why I've actually gone and done these short courses to A, actually learn, but then B, convince myself that I don't need to think that that's like a weakness. Maybe not a strength yet either, but it's also like I'm bridging that gap.
Yeah, I guess that's a good one. I mean, you need the technical skills at some point to do what you're doing.
Don't need how to know how to use Premiere because I've got confidence.
Yeah. I mean, mate, I had that. Yeah. And it works. Yeah. Unbelievable.
When you have the magnetic timeline of Final Cut, it's amazing how far confidence will go.
But it's probably like I had this fucked up belief once and I was like, oh, winter. I won't be out. I won't get as much work because it's winter and there's, you know, it's raining and this but so the opposite can be also true. Very true.
Well, I found I'd get not a lot, but some of my money from what you'd almost categorize as like influencer type work. And I've always.
Mate, you got a blue tick.
I got a blue tick. Yeah. But I've always.
I meant that as in big. When I said big deal, it sounded like I was saying big deal as in being sarcastic.
No, you'd have a blue tick if you're offered one.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll sell you mine. $5,000.
I don't know. That won't work.
Why not?
You can't change the name. So it'd have to be Ryan John.
No, I can change it.
I don't think you
can. Have to pay a deposit first for that $5,000. A limiting. Oh, I had something and then I totally forgot what it was. The influencer stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Is that I don't fall into, like, I have this thing in my mind that's like influencers are in verticals and categories. Mm. And I'm not a fitness guy, a beauty guy. I'm not a travel guy. I think we've talked about this before. I'm not a clear. Whatever. And I'm like, oh, it's hard to get work because I'm not in the niches. Mm. And that's where a lot of like the good coin is and stuff. And then other people like agencies like, no, that's good. That means you can branch out and do a bunch of different stuff. So it's actually a positive that you can make stuff that's broad. And I was like,
Exactly. Okay. I mean, Colin and Samir, these two LA-based filmmakers, in one of their videos, they were talking about that it's harder being a duo. And Josh and I have had the complete opposite conversation, which is it's easier being a duo.
Yeah.
Who's right?
Well, you can literally like
who's right?
I think the thing is if you just place whatever position you're in, that's the best place you can be right now.
Yeah.
And just go forward with that. It's probably the best scenario that you can hope for.
Yep.
I mean, what's the other option? The other option is saying, I can't do this because I've only got the 2014 laptop and I need this one or that one. It's just like the other thing is. There are people with way less resources. There's people with way less knowledge who are doing way better than all of us.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah.
That's so annoying.
For me, the alternative.
I hate those. I'm so pissed.
For me, the alternative is going back to Pitcher Partners, the accounting firm, and asking for my job back.
Mate,
we should do a funny. We should do a joke video. April Fools.
April Fools.
What? And then
we should do an April Fools video to them.
What, joke's on you, you have to take me back. You promised you would when I left in 2011.
Yeah, it's a shit idea.
They actually said, just call us whenever you want your job back. It's waiting for you.
Oh, was that like 10 years ago, whatever it was?
2007 years ago, yeah.
Okay. You should just at least see.
Call them out on it.
Well, yeah, you should see if they take you up.
They won't work there. Like they would have moved on or up or something. I'll call HR and go, hey, my name's Ryan. 7 years ago, you said if I ever needed my job back, just to call you and it'd be waiting for me. What time do I get in tomorrow?
Yeah, yeah. No, I like that. It's a good video.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, I'm all
I'll
for
get you guys to film it.
Brought to you by Picture Partners. So, and then just get them to
if
pay
you
for
are
it.
In the accounting world, though, Picture Partners is one of the great employers.
Really?
I will say that. They are fantastic.
Where are they based?
They've just a brand new building opened at the end of Flinders Street, like down towards the Docklands in that nice little hub.
I think you're saying Hampton.
No.
You started last week, didn't you? You started last week with.
Well,
sounds like you really didn't.
If I did, well, what am I doing here right now?
Yeah, too many middlemen. Too many middlemen.
I wonder if my non-compete if SCA will allow me to work in accounting.
I'm sure. Yeah, sure. I mean, you're here right now, and we're the biggest media company there is.
In Melbourne, at least.
Yeah.
It's a daily talk show. Ryan, John, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
We should definitely get you back on again in the coming days. If everything
well, I'd love to, because like I said, it's a learning. I just come in here with questions I need answered. Mm. Yeah. May as well record it, right?
That's good fun. And we want to find out, did you find out the cost of the T-shirt? The
$35.
$35.
Delivered? What do you got? Yeah, delivered to Perth. $35.
No, I think shipping was additional.
What did you charge for the jumpers?
$60.
Delivered.
We'll do t-shirts for 30.
Just if you're gonna undercut them and be like, just go $34.95.
Okay, we'll do that.
And you should be like
$35 delivered.
Daily Show delivered. The Daily Show Daily podcast show. T-shirts cheaper than Sizzle Town.
If you say the Daily Show one more time,
and if you hashtag the Daily Show again,
I tell you why. It's because in the camera, my head's covering up the word talk.
Is that really
use your
why?
Initiative. It's also the advice I give to the young people.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, oh, the day, the talk. Oh.
There we go. We're working.
What is my face, Rez?
It is the Daily Talk Show. Hi at thedailytalkshow.com is the email address. If you're a freelancer. Mm.
Help me.
Send us an email. What are you working on?
If what are you struggling with?
Yeah. Send us an email there. Or also Instagram, take a screen grab. If you're in your car, take a photo. If you're on a beach, take a photo. Share it. Tag the Daily Talk Show. Tag Ryan John as well.
Yeah, if you want to have coffee with us, that'll cost you $100. Yeah.
And if you're at the pool, don't do any of the taking of the photos.
No GoPros.
If you're listening to this episode, follow me on Instagram and I'll do a follow-up on the kids filming hidden camera stuff.
What does that mean?
Just leave it at that. It sounds real dodgy.
It's one of the great
We'll see you Sunday for Weekend Banter with TJ's dad.
My birthday and Father's Day. See you tomorrow.
Bye.